Coming up on today's NFL Fantasy Live, Robert Griffin calls out his doubters, but are his words enough to convince you to call out his name on draft day? Ryan Hoyer gets the nod in Cleveland over Johnny Manziel. Our experts tell you what that means for Jordan Cameron, Ben Tate, and the rest of the Browns. Trouble brewing in the Steel City as a pair of Steelers taken into police custody on Wednesday. We'll have the fantasy fallout in Pittsburgh and a whole lot more as NFL Fantasy Live starts right now. Welcome to NFL Fantasy Live, presented by DirecTV, the official and most watched fantasy football show of the National Football League. Matt Money Smith here, Adam Rank, our champ.
The former champ.
Are you doing this again?
Yeah.
What do you mean, former champ?
Because I'm going to be the champ this year.
Well, no, he's the champ. You got to wait until December, and then I'll let you take another picture
with the belt.
Akbar Baja B. Amila, the man from San Diego State, right here on my right shoulder. And Molly Karam. Hey, Molly. Going to be joining us shortly. Fantasy Draft Week is upon us. Millions of yous around the globe, across the earth, and your drafts are happening right this very moment. You can sign up right now at NFL.com/fantasy. I got a little bit of fallout with the family league.
Well, what happened?
Well, they want to draft that. Like, you guys, how are you?
What happened?
Tell us what happened. Ooh. They want to draft on Sunday. I said, we got to wait until this Josh Gordon thing sorted out, and then we can draft. And they said, come on.
Intrigue.
Roll the dice a little bit.
I don't like that strategy.
I don't like that. You know what? From one commissioner to another commissioner, Roger Goodell, I am pleading with you. Come up with a decision, please.
What are you the commissioner of?
One of my family. I'll get you the Gray Sports Almanac.
That'll help you out this year.
There you go. All right. It is time for our headlines and a big news alert. And a big news alert is a big blow for Big Ben and the Steelers. Wednesday, running backs Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount were taken into custody after being pulled over in a vehicle Bell was driving. Detective Brian Kohlhepp of the Ross Township, Pennsylvania Police Department confirmed to NFL media that a pair of Steelers and running backs, Steelers, I should say, were pulled over Wednesday around 1:30 p.m. and taken into custody for marijuana possession. Both players are with the team for their game tonight in Philadelphia. And NFL media's Aditi Kikawala reported that they will both play tonight against the Eagles. So let's talk fantasy impact. For Le'Veon Bell, for Dree Archer, for LeGarrette Blount, what does this mean for the Steelers?
Well, we know that Mike Tomlin is going to give these guys an opportunity to play against tonight. And well, I think what we'll see is that we'll have an opportunity to see how well these guys look, especially LeGarrette Blount behind Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, we got to, you know, realize that a suspension is not really looming. We just talked about the Josh Gordon situation. Who knows how long this is going to take to play out. So as long as the Steelers don't personally suspend these guys, just proceed as we were planning.
Yeah, and we're seeing a whole lot of Dree Archer there, and I'm sure we'll focus on him a little bit later in the show, but certainly going to keep our eyes on him in that preseason game and see if this impacts how many touches he's going to get. Let's continue with the news. We'll stay in the AFC North, and that would be Browns head coach Mike Pettine, who named his starter. It's Brian Hoyer. He will be the starter in Cleveland after a much-talked-about, much-hyped battle with rookie quarterback Johnny Manziel. So how did Johnny Football react to the news of being named the backup?
Oh, boy. He's a competitor. He wants to be out there. But he knows there's some things he needs to work on, and it's his job to press on and prepare every week like as if he's the starter.
I mean, I feel like if I would have came out and played better, it would have been a different outcome. I don't think I played terrible, but I didn't do anything to really jump off the page. I think I made strides and got better throughout the training camp, and that's what I wanted to do. So, I mean, obviously it's disappointing, but at the same time, I want what's best for this team moving forward, and I'm going to continue to come out here every day and give it my all and continue to get better as a quarterback, and that's all I can do.
Yeah, no question. He said it there. Neither of these quarterbacks was impressive in the preseason, and whether or not it's that Johnny Football didn't do things that jumped off the page, as he said, or Brian Hoyer is just the steady hand. For fantasy owners, the question now is, How many Browns can you draft, and how does Brian Hoyer being the quarterback affect that draft?
Well, I don't think that it has much effect on any of the other guys. If you think about a guy like Jordan Cameron, I mean, he still had, you know, mediocre play from the quarterback position last year and still was able to be very productive. I have him as my fifth-ranked tight end. He's still going to be that guy coming out probably like the sixth round. I like Jordan Cameron. The one person who does affect their fantasy value is Josh Gordon.
Yeah, well, Josh Gordon showed that he could play with pretty much any quarterback, just like Jordan Cameron did too, and he's going to excel. So I look at this, Brian Hoyer there, he's got no fantasy value, but the other Cleveland Browns, it should keep them steady. And plus with the running attack, they're probably going to run a lot more than they would if either one of these quarterbacks.
We'll get to that a little bit later in our Fantasy Two-A-Days. And remember, Cameron had his best production when Hoyer was at quarterback. So that's actually a pretty good bit of news for those that are looking for Jordan Cameron. All right, let's get to the Redskins. And Redskins quarterback Robert Griffin III taking to social media Wednesday to call out his critics. Tweeting, and here it is, at RGIII, that would be RG3. They doubted in high school. They doubted a turnaround at Baylor. They doubted a Heisman was possible. Keep doubting. It's nothing new.
That's fighting words right there.
It just sounds like, I don't know, like a Nike commercial or something along those lines. I mean, do we care?
He's sponsored by Adidas.
Is he? All right, so that sounds like an Adidas commercial.
They're coming up with a T-shirt. Yeah, they're coming up with something new. But, I mean, when you have RG3 talking like that,
will
that
you
means
draft him?
Of course,
to
I would
be your
draft
QB1.
Him.
That's who he's talking to right there.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think he has the ability to be drafted. I mean, of course. I mean, he's RG3. He's going to have the legs. Think about what Jay Gruden did for Andy Dalton. I mean, he made Andy Dalton a guy that you scratch your head and say, this is a guy that I can put in during, depending on what your situation, bye weeks. But for RG3, different talent, and he's got more weapons around him. He could be very productive and big this year.
You draft him, Rank?
I'm a little concerned about him, and of course, we'll be talking more about them in our Fantasy Two-A-Days, but RG3 is somebody I'm a little bit worried about.
Like, you wouldn't draft him, really?
I wouldn't draft him because I draft good quarterbacks. I go good quarterbacks early.
Right, early. Yeah. All right, let's get to Steven Jackson. The news out of Falcons camp is that running back S-Jax there sidelined the majority of training camp with a hamstring injury. Good news, though, for fantasy owners. I'm talking to you, Rank. Head coach Mike Smith told reporters Wednesday, he fully expects Jackson to be ready to go week one when Atlanta welcomes the Saints to town. So
we heard a lot of that last year.
We did.
It didn't really come to fruition. And the guy who I thought was going to come out and be the fantasy MVP in that offense and do so many great things did one great thing in week 15, and that was about
give me a round. Give me a round. Steven Jackson sitting there in round blank, and I will draft him.
I'm going to pass.
Fifth round.
All right,
fifth round.
Eagles running back, sticking with the running backs, LeSean McCoy, dealing with a minor case of turf toe. Head coach Chip Kelly, not worried that it's going to have any impact on Shady's performance. He joked with the media on Wednesday saying, quote, I don't think he'll ever play again. .. That's an ellipsis. He's fine. He practiced full yesterday. He's fine. It's not as big an issue as anybody's made it out to be. I believe you've had a case of turf toe in the past, Akbar. Is he fine, or are you concerned?
No, I'm not concerned, but because of modern medicine, I believe that he'll be able to play through it. Turf toe is a big deal. It is a big deal.
I mean,
especially for a running back, but if it's a minor thing and he's not tripping off of it, he's fine. Don't even think about moving from
still
the
still number one overall pick.
Come on, he's LeSean McCoy.
All right, let's get to 49ers wide receiver Michael Crabtree telling Bay Area reporters that he was never entirely healthy in 2013 after coming back in week 12 from a torn Achilles injury. And now NFL media insider Ian Rappaport reported the 49ers and Crabtree working on a long-term contract extension, that Crabtree would be willing to take a more incentive-laden deal that's based on his on-field performance due to the history of injuries, very similar to his quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, taking an incentive-laden deal. So what about Crabtree? Wide receiver one, wide receiver two. What is he to you there, Ray?
He's a wide receiver two, but he's got a lot of upside. This is going to be the first September where him and Colin Kaepernick are going to be playing together. And when you look at the injuries on the 49ers defense, that could mean that that team is going to be in a lot of shootouts, which means more passing opportunities. So Crabtree is somebody moving up my draft board.
Give me a round,
I've got him in the sixth round, but he's never going to be more than a wide receiver two because of the talent that's on the San Francisco 49ers, but he is a guy that I'd pick up in the sixth round.
Well, you know, they're welcoming Stevie Johnson. You've got Anquan Boldin, who's always overlooked. Always I feel like you're going to get Anquan Boldin like the 12th round this year. And it's going to be a great value. All right, let's send it over to Molly Karam with more of what's in store for today's show.
Hello, Money. It's good to have you back. And Adam, thank you for that new draft tip there. I only draft good quarterbacks. I'm going to remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
It's NFL Fantasy Draft Week, and we've got a lot going on during this jam-packed edition of NFL Fantasy Live to get you primed and ready for draft day coming up. Our Fantasy Two-A-Day series rolls into the NFC East, and we're going to head to the city of brotherly love for a preview of the 2014 Eagle squad. Things are really heating up at the tight end position between Zach Ertz and Brent Celek, and we'll let you know who has the advantage in Philly. And it's called Two-A-Days for a reason. Our second part of our Fantasy Two-A-Days will head down I-95 and the Capitol Beltway to D.C. to chat a little Redskins fantasy outlook and what the addition of DeSean Jackson means for RG3 and company. But coming up next, the fantasy Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano joins us from our NFL League headquarters in New York City. Hello, Michael. Looking good. We're talking depth charts and who has the edge to get the start for week one when NFL Fantasy Live returns. Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live. Molly Karam here alongside Adam Rank with Michael Fabiano joining us from the league headquarters in New York. Hello, gentlemen. Are we ready to talk a little depth chart and position battles?
Absolutely.
All right. How about it? Love me a good battle. It's time for Clearer Picture presented by Best Buy. So with this being fantasy draft week, every fantasy player should be keeping their eye on depth chart battles. And there's an interesting one up in Buffalo, Michael Fabiano, one Freddie Jackson in C.J. Spiller. Which way are you leaning?
Well, I'd rather have C.J. Spiller, but I think Fred Jackson could end up being the better value from an ADP perspective because right now he's not coming off the board until the 10th or 11th round, where Spiller's a guy you're drafting 5th round. I would not draft Spiller as more than a flex starter. I wouldn't want him as an RB2. Look at what's going on in the preseason. Fred Jackson is still seeing red zone opportunities. He is seeing opportunities in passing downs, which means C.J. Spiller has not separated himself. This is a backfield committee. Spiller has the higher ceiling, but Jackson's been the better running back, at least recently.
Yeah, and Jackson's just a better fit for this offense. C.J. Spiller had the best years of his career under Chan Gailey, and it just seems Fred Jackson, even though he's 50 years old seemingly, just comes out and does it every year.
Let's talk about a team we haven't heard much about this offseason, the Cleveland Browns. But we're not talking Johnny Manziel or Brian Hoyer. We are talking Ben Tate or Terrence West. Adam, you put Terrence West on the map for me. Which way are you leaning here?
Well, the Browns are leaning towards Ben Tate, and it looks like he's going to have that job going into the regular season. But when you look at the history of Ben Tate and his injuries, Terrence West becomes one of the most valuable handcuffs in fantasy football, so you got to keep an eye on him. So if you draft Ben Tate, he's usually going in the 8th round, as it says right there. You have to come back and get Terrence West at some point this season because he figures to play. He's going to go in about the 12th, 13th round. That's where he's going right now. I'm a panicky person, so I'll probably go in the 12th and try to get him. So it's a tough situation, but you figure that team's going to run a lot. They're going to, with the quarterback situation, they're going to run the ball a lot. Both of them are going to be in the mix. But by the end of the season, I think we'll be talking about Terrence West as the number one back.
Okay, so get him in the 12th if you're getting Tate in the 8th there. You panicky? You're cool as a cucumber.
You would think. It's all on the outside.
What are you talking
about? Inside. Flip-flops.
Oh, please. All right, let's go to the Saints now. Pierre Thomas or Mark Ingram? Fabs, which way are you going here?
Well, I think if we've learned anything in New Orleans is that the backfield is going to be a headache for fantasy owners, right? So I'd rather have Pierre Thomas, especially in a PPR league. But both guys are good values based on their ADP right now because no one is drafting them before the 10th round. And I don't know that Ingram should be drafted before the 10th round. Right now, Pierre Thomas is going in the 11th round. I think he could be the Darren Sproles role from 2013, catch 70-plus balls. But Sean Payton said it. He always has a role for Pierre Thomas, and Pierre Thomas always exceeds expectations and plays a bigger role in the offense. I draft him as an RB4 in a standard league, probably an RB3/4 in a PPR league. As for Ingram, he's done nothing really in the NFL from a fantasy perspective in his first 3 years. Now he's starting to look good, but we've seen this before, so I'm tapping the brake on him. I definitely draft him as an RB4, but I need to see more before I'm going to be all in on Mark Ingram.
The injuries are concerning you a bit. How about you,
Adam? He's going off the boards in the 12th round, and we've seen him in preseason play pretty well. So in the 12th round, he's definitely worth a flyer right there.
All right, talk about confusion. Let's go to the Patriots wide receiving core there. So Danny Amendola last year was 6th round in terms of ADP. This year, 15th round. So he's dropped quite a bit. Is that of Aaron Dobson?
It's because of the injuries. And everybody's scared because everybody bought in to him last year and he burned them. But this season, Danny Amendola looks like he could be a very good value. He's healthy, at least for right now. Mm-hmm. And when you're getting down to the 15th round, you're looking at guys like Cam and Kenny Britt and you're trying to make a decision. Well, I start to look at the quarterback. Who's this guy's quarterback? He's catching passes from Tom Brady. So when you're looking in those late rounds and you're just filling out your roster, you see a guy who, as you said, had a 6th round ADP last season. I'll take a chance on him.
Missed 25 games.
Amendola's a guy who as Adam said, the injuries have been an issue during his career, which is why he's dropped in terms of ADP. But watch out for Dobson. Listen, he's got a year under his belt with Tom Brady throwing him the football. There's some sleeper appeal there. He's a guy you draft as a five and see what happens.
All right, we have another under-the-radar guy here in a position battle in San Diego. We go to the tight end position. And, Fabs, we're going to go to you here. Antonio Gates or Ladarius Green? Ladarius Green, kind of a new name to me, but you're high on him.
Ladarius Green has looked good in the preseason. He is athletic. He is a guy who reminds me a little bit of Julius Thomas, very athletic type of player. And he has been the guy there so far for the Chargers during the preseason. Right now, he's not being drafted until the 15th round, and he probably shouldn't be drafted until that late because Gates is still there. He's still a staple in that offense. But if you like upside, and I certainly do, Ladarius Green has far more upside. Gates hit his ceiling years ago. Watch out for this kid. I'm not saying you draft him as your tight end one, but you draft him late as a backup who has the potential to be a starter in fantasy leagues.
Yeah, because Mike McCoy is really high on this guy, and he has said in the past, you know, we need to find ways to get him on the field. And so look for them to do that. But again, leave him on the bench. Just somebody to keep an eye on as the season rolls on.
Yeah, and he's got a good quarterback there in Phillip Rivers. Thank you, gentlemen. That was Clearer Picture presented by Best Buy. And we like good quarterbacks on this show, Adam Rank.
Love them.
Still to come on NFL Fantasy Live. They say week three of the preseason is the most important. We're taking a closer look at the schedule and a handful of players that need to show us something this weekend. But coming up next, our two-a-day series heads to Philly, where Nick Foles enters year two under Chip Kelly and Jeremy Maclin looking to bounce back from injury. We're back right after this.
Foles is going to run, and he's in for the touchdown! Wow, he is an athlete. Touchdown! Riley Cooper!
Zach Ertz working in the end zone.
Jeremy Maclin is very important.
This is an offensive explosion.
Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live. Here you get a look at the Eagles fantasy rankings. Top of the Pops, LeSean McCoy being kicked around as the number one overall pick in many fantasy drafts this season. You see right there on the bottom with the little red, well, what would that be? I don't know, like a quadrilateral. Jeremy Maclin did miss the season with a torn ACL, but he is back. We will discuss him as well. It is time for our Fantasy Live two-a-days, and we focus on the NFC East, the worst to first in 2013, Philadelphia Eagles with head coach Chip Kelly putting it on the league, Akbar, with his high-tempo offense.
You remember how much the haters were coming around saying, oh, we don't think that, you know, Chip Kelly's going to be able to do it. Well, he showed it. The Philadelphia Eagles looked solid in 2013.
And I do want to make sure, for those that aren't as well-versed on Chip Kelly and his history, a running back, a college football running back, that little ball of butcher knives, Chip Kelly, when he was at the University of New Hampshire. Are you concerned about his handpicked quarterback, Nick Foles, and a sophomore slump?
Well, you know what? That typically happens when you look at quarterbacks, because what ends up happening is there's no expectation your rookie year, so you're able to go out there and just, you know, there's no fear factor. So you go out there and you rely on your instincts and you see whatever is given to you. But then when you come into your sophomore year, there's these expectations, and that very much could happen too. Nick Foles, they want to add more to the volume of the playbook, open it up, so to speak, to give him the ability to be able to do more plays. What ends up happening, you start to look at paralysis by analysis, overthinking it, and then the pressure. So I think with Nick Foles, we could see that. Don't be surprised if Mark Sanchez, who's been looking kind of good towards the end of the preseason now, there's a little slump there, and Mark Sanchez gets involved.
In sophomore season as a starter, as a full-time,
absolutely,
he's the guy. It is his third year overall. I absolutely love Foles. You'll see it in the rankings in just a moment when we kind of give you an idea of where we think these guys should be drafted. And one of the reasons why I'm so high on Nick Foles is Darren Sproles. The fact that he's got LeSean McCoy and Darren Sproles back there just to dump the ball off, let those guys go to work and get all those yardage, they're going to count toward your quarterback. Let's talk about Darren Sproles and his arrival in Philadelphia.
I love Darren Sproles. Darren Sproles is independent. His draft value is independent of LeSean McCoy. We already know where LeSean McCoy is. He's a top two guy. You're going to either take him one, two, wherever you decide to take him. But Darren Sproles, because because of his unique talent. He is an offensive weapon, and that's how he's to be used on your fantasy team. He can be used lined up in the slot. He can be used out of the backfield. He just could be used in such a variety of ways that Chip Kelly is going to be running wild and crazy with his imagination. We're going to see some stuff we hadn't seen out of Darren Sproles this year. You can expect big-time production from Darren Sproles. He can catch, and he can for sure run.
Yeah, and you'll see both of them in the backfield at the same time, no doubt about it, with LeSean McCoy and Darren Sproles. They did just acquire Kenyon Barner. It cost him a seventh-round pick. Of course, Barner, wildly productive at Oregon, while Chip Kelly was there, also under Mark Helfrich as well. I don't have any assumptions that that's going to impact either of these guys. Akbar, any concern about Kenyon Barner?
Not even close. That's a Hail Mary for Kenyon Barner. Yes, he's got some athletic talents, but he is not going to be a factor when it comes to fantasy value.
We get to the wide receivers. If Nick Foles is going to be piling up those 27 touchdowns to just two interceptions again, he's going to have to throw it to somebody. So let's get started on what looks to be the de facto number one in Philadelphia now that DeSean Jackson is gone, Jeremy Maclin.
I like Jeremy Maclin. We haven't seen anything from him. Of course, he's still recovering from his injury, but what we did see from him last season, he started to come along and he looked good. I think when you look at Jeremy Maclin, he's a wide receiver I'd be targeting somewhere around the seventh round because he has that talent. Riley Cooper is, of course, going to push him, and Riley Cooper is going to do his thing. But when you look at athleticism, when you look at his ability to be able to get open, to read coverage, to sit in a lot of those zones coverage and sit and find that hole, Jeremy Maclin can do that. I believe he's the better of the two. I have him rated higher than I do Riley Cooper.
Yeah, as do I. And with Riley Cooper, it's just the touchdowns. The fact that Nick Foles was so, I don't want to say enamored, but focused on where Riley Cooper was on the field when they got into the red zone, those touchdowns are going to get you 6 points, obviously per grab. But the thing with Maclin, people don't realize how athletic he is. They think of DeSean Jackson and his lightning fast speed. Maclin just as fast. He is a 4-4 guy. He has a big body. He, you know, out of the University of Missouri, did have the missed season last year with that MCL. So Cooper, Maclin, a tough decision, but I'm with you. I go Maclin. The question now is Jordan Matthews, and how does he fit into this? Because everybody in Philadelphia has been talking about the rookie out of Vandy and how good he has been through camp and in this preseason.
Well, in this game, he had 9 catches, 9 targets. He caught all of them, put up 100 yards. He has the ability to have the same type of production that Keenan Allen had for the San Diego Chargers. He's that good. He's that focused. Spending some time with him during the offseason, you get that from him. He's not your ordinary rookie, so it's going to be interesting to see when live bullets are flying during the regular season how he steps up to it. I believe he has the ability to do it, and the man's got big hands. My hands are big. Can the camera zoom in on this? My hands are big. Jordan Matthews' hands are bigger than mine.
That's
unbelievable. He can catch anything.
That? Why would I embarrass myself like that? Moving on, Zach Ertz, one of my absolute favorite tight end targets in the NFL, a standard man, and everybody gets excited about Kobe Fleener. Zach Ertz is better than Kobe Fleener. And when you watch the preseason and you see how Chip Kelly is moving him all over the field, outside, inside, in motion, he can block, he's a big guy. Zach Ertz will end up being a top 7 tight end, maybe top 6 tight end. He's absolutely a tight end one, and I suspect he's going to put up some real big tight end numbers this season, tier 2 tight end numbers.
You're so right, Money. You talked about his athleticism. I don't need to reemphasize that, but I can tell you from my experience as a linebacker, what makes it so challenging to try to guard and defend a tight end like that is sometimes you're just out of your space, and when you have to go detached from the line and line up over an Ertz, and he can get physical with you and get open, that makes it hard to defend them, so that's why they're so productive.
Well, let's quantify it. Here we go. Actual numbers. Literal numbers. I guess I'd have to be holding it or something. But where you're going to have to draft these guys? I'm higher than you on Nick Foles. I don't think he lasts until the 9, and I'm comfortable going into a season with him as my QB1. We both have McCoy
that's
at 1.
Clear.
Darren Sproles, you're higher on him. You talked about that, how you believe he's going to be able to
offensive
continue
weapon.
Darren Sproles' production. Jeremy Maclin right there in step. Same with Cooper. Same with Jordan Matthews and Ertz. I think you're going to have to jump up there and get him. And Celek, I don't think, is even in the conversation.
No, he's at the bottom.
All right. If you could only have one guy on that board.
Come on, LeSean McCoy.
Who would have guessed?
LeSean McCoy.
All right. When NFL Fantasy Live rolls on, we keep it in the NFC as our Fantasy Two-A-Days tour heads to D.C. Jay Gruden's brought his offense to Washington. So what does that mean for RG3 and the rest of the Redskins in 2014? Back in a moment.
Let's go.
Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live. It is time now for coaching decisions presented by The Novo?
Yeah, it's right there.
Novo.
It's right
there. I'm doing my Ford at the auto show. It's the Lenovo. It's very light and beautiful. It's a flat carbon color. We always hear that week three of the preseason is the most important for coaches and their evaluation of players. Former player, Akbar Baja Biyamil.
Very true.
Is that correct?
Oh, that third week.
Week three?
It's big time. Yeah,
if you don't play in week three, are you done? Are you just like, oh, wait?
You're starting to scratch your head. You're getting a little nervous.
A lot of week three high-pressure situations for Akbar Baja Biyamil.
Oh, boy, you can't believe it. That's why I'm sitting here.
Well, let's get an eye on some of those games we're going to be getting a look at. And we start with the Eagles and Steelers. You will see it right here on NFL Network. We just finished our Eagles two-a-day, so let's focus on those Steelers that we'll be watching. And, Rank, I'll start with you. Quarterbacks seem to be a high priority this fantasy season. They always are, but this year in particular, it become a more of a passing league. Big Ben, QB1, borderline QB1.
He's a borderline QB1. He's one of those guys you don't necessarily think of as a high-profile, high-passer quarterback, guys in the mold of Peyton Manning and Drew Brees and guys of that nature. But Ben Roethlisberger did throw for 4,200 yards last year, got close to 30 touchdowns, and now he's in another year with Todd Haley in that system, getting a little bit more comfortable, and we could see a high-powered passing attack this season.
Yeah, we really could, and I think the other thing, too, is that when you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers, you think about the strong, heavy run game. They love that, and you know Mike Tomlin and Haley are going to commit to that run game, and that's why you always kind of teeter-totter with Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, the guy we just saw there a moment ago with that 46-yard screen pass, Dree Archer, a marijuana situation with Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount. Perhaps does that mean more work for Dree Archer? Is there any impact there? And I guess just bigger picture, Akbar, starting with you, Dree Archer in terms of draft value. Is he a waiver guy? Is he someone you draft?
Well, he's a waiver guy. And so if you're looking at Dree Archer, because he is very interesting because of his speed, I had a chance to see him during the combine, and he is electric. Even when you watch his tape, you see how electric he is. So this whole opportunity with LeGarrette Blount and the Le'Veon Bell saga, we don't know how it's going to play out, but when Dree Archer gets his opportunity, you're going to have a real good look at where he fits in on your fantasy. More likely, he's going to be a flex guy, but when you look at his talent, you're going to say, wow, this guy has a lot of potential.
He's going to be very exciting. You see the play right there where he just takes it to the house off a little dump off there, and he's exciting. But how many times is he going to be involved in the game? He's not somebody. Look at his stature right there. He's not somebody that you could just put behind the
He's line. Not built tough like a Ford.
Yes.
Now you're talking.
Like there, you know?
Now you're talking.
So he's going to only have a handful of plays. He's going to be very excited, but it's also going to be very disappointing because he's not going to be able to somebody that you can count on each and every week like this guy.
Well, yeah, and that's I'm glad we can get to the Antonio Brown point because it's a head-scratcher as far as I'm concerned. Antonio Brown's is a wide receiver one. And
absolutely.
If you are drafting high and you get that running back, let's say you're in the top four, you're foolish if you're going to take one of those second-tier running backs instead of a wide receiver one. Now, Dez Bryant, A.J. Green, Calvin Johnson, Brandon Marshall, they're not going to make it to you. But right. Antonio Brown is, and I am comfortable going into the season with Antonio Brown as my number one wide receiver.
And you should be because he has a big arm quarterback in Big Ben Roethlisberger. He is the number one threat. And I want to say he is the only real vertical threat for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And when I say vertical threat, I mean he's a guy that's got – he's really good and disciplined in his route. He's a big-time playmaker. Antonio Smith is a top-10 wide receiver. Whether you like it or not, that's how you should view Antonio Brown.
Excuse me. Yeah, Smith and Brown all of a sudden.
Antonio Brown, excuse
like
me.
Smith and Brown are just all the same. Just lump us away. We all look the same.
It's
don't
not Baja B. Miller.
Let's see how it is. I'm calling Antonio. He's going to be upset with you.
But at the end of last season, though, there was only one wide receiver who was better than Antonio Brown, and that was Josh Gordon. So Antonio Brown has put up the numbers. He finished 7th overall in fantasy points, but still very good wide receiver.
Preach.
Antonio Smith.
Yes, Brown. Smith.
Brown. Marcus Wheaton. Adam, you and I have been talking quite a bit about Marcus Wheaton. If you follow the Pac-10, now Pac-12 trail, you knew all about Wheaton at Oregon State. He's going to get his chance to be that number two replacing Manny Sanders. Give us an idea of round
value. What do you like
value.
To say about Marcus Wheaton?
Well, just superb athlete. People talk about DeAnthony Thomas, the Black Mamba there from Oregon, how fast, how athletic. In the world of track, they both ran track at Oregon and Oregon State respectively, and Wheaton dusted him on the track field. So that gives you an idea of the level of quickness, how fast he is, his top-end speed. He just got to catch the ball. He's got to learn the playbook.
And Brandon Cooks before Brandon Cooks.
Exactly.
You know, and when Manny Sanders was there, I love Manny Sanders.
So do I.
But, you know, when he was there, they tried to get him the ball a lot, and he really didn't make the most of his opportunity. Right. Marcus Wheaton is going to get that same chance. I think he's going to do it.
He's a waiver wire
really
guy.
Take advantage
he's a waiver
of
wire guy.
You can wait till the last round. Yeah. I don't think a lot of people in your draft are going to be jumping up to grab
Marcus
Wheaton.
But when you're sitting there, you're looking at guys like Kenny Britt, Danny Amendola, people we've been talking about. Marcus Wheaton seems to have a little bit more upside.
Let's get to our next game. That'll be Giants v. Jets, Battle of the Meadowlands. And you'll see it Saturday, 10 a.m. right there on the television, NFL Network. And when we talk about the Giants, I got nothing.
Really?
I got a whole lot of nothing.
Victor Cruz?
Well, I was doing the red zone on Saturday, and we kept going back to that game, and I kept saying, okay, Eli Manning's one for seven for 6 yards, and no receivers are catching. What are we going to do with these wide receivers?
Well, it's very hard. I mean, you think outside of Victor Cruz. I think Victor Cruz has the ability to be still productive, but it's the Reuben Randall, Odell Beckham Jr., and that Manningham that really confuses me. Out of all of these guys, I like raw talent-wise, I like Odell Beckham, but we haven't had a chance to see him. I think the guy who's going to stand out because he's healthy is going to be Reuben Randall.
Yeah, but man, Eli Manning has looked so bad in the preseason.
Horrible.
All the dump-offs, all the incompletions.
Unwatchable.
Yeah, they want him to complete, what, 70% of his passes? That's
one for seven for 6 yards. Not a good start.
Does that include the interceptions, too? Because I don't know if that would can
are we,
raise that up
a little bit. Are we getting lulled into a rope-a-dope? Is that what's happening here?
Well, you know,
Maybe don't be
fooled. Yes, he had a very bad year last year. Hasn't really been all that impressive during the preseason. But don't think that Eli Manning doesn't have the ability to bounce back. I think he's mentally tough, and he can't have a bounce back year. It's happened in the NFL.
It has, but when you lose, what, 3/5 of your offensive line, right, when we're still trying to figure out who a number two receiver is, when you have issues with turnovers, a brand new offensive coordinator, you know, here's what I'll do, and I'm sure you're with us, Akbar and Adam. I mean, it's you go with the running back.
Yeah, you're going to have to go with the running back. I worked out with Rashad Jennings this summer, and I can tell you he's ready to take that load. He's going to be very, very productive for the New York Giants.
Plus, what can he clean?
You know what? He can get up there in the 400s.
Yeah, how about deadlift?
Does he bench more than you?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, he doesn't. Okay.
How many burpees can he do?
I don't know.
14.
I just know that he's going to be the workhorse for the New York Giants.
And he's also a great receiver out of the backfield.
I'm not
so when Eli Manning's dumping it off.
You can't tell me how many burpees he can do. Never worked out with him. Let's get to the Jets running back situation there, Rank.
Yeah, Chris Ivory is a sneaky play here out of that backfield because over the last month of the season, he was pretty good. He was up there with some of the elite running backs, and you figure the Jets are going to want to run the ball this season. Ivory is in line to get a lot of the touches. And again, somebody who just sneaks down the board, if you're like us and you're going to be going receivers early.
Who's me. Who sneaks down?
Chris Ivory.
Oh, Chris Ivory. Oh.
I thought you were going to say Lally Powell
sliding down that board. He got a lot of work in that game against Cincinnati.
I'm taking that one from you.
All right, let's go to Raiders v. Packers, and that our third focus of the preseason. Some players we're going to be keeping an eye on, and we get started with the Raiders running back situation. Former Raider Akbar Baja Biamila. Did you work out with Maurice Jones-Drew this summer?
You know, no, but I did hang out with him during the Super Bowl. Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and name drop. I'm in love with Maurice Jones-Drew for the first time in a long time because I think this is going to be his real opportunity. Yes, I like Darren McFadden. I know that he has a lot of explosive ability, but I think, especially when you're talking about fantasy, you need availability. And I think Maurice Jones-Drew is going to be healthier than he's ever been, and I believe that this is going to be the year where he really steps up. And we've seen some of that during the preseason, that he has that. He still has the wiggle that we know that MJD has. So when you look at it, the better running back between the two, to me, is Maurice Jones-Drew. He has the better fantasy value.
Hey, Rank, with the release of Football's Hoosiers about Concord De La Salle coming out, what kind of impact does that have on Concord De La Salle alumnus Maurice Jones-Drew?
That's going to be huge, right?
Huge, right?
He's fired up. But see, here's the thing. I'm looking at Darren McFadden, and I know he's nuked a lot of your fantasy teams over the year. His ADP is round 13 right now. Go ahead and pick him up.
In the 13th round, you'll take a flyer.
Yeah, why not?
First-round pick. Our final topic, in Green Bay, a third wide receiver. We know Jordy Nelson. We know Randall Cobb. They're both going to get drafted high, probably second, third round. What about the third guy? Who's taking those catches, the James Jones, those red zone touches? Is there a third? We've had it throughout the course of Aaron Rodgers' career. Who's the third wide receiver in Green Bay?
I'm going with Jarek Boykin because when he got his opportunity last season, Aaron Rodgers showed a lot of faith in him. He targeted him 6 times in that game against Cleveland when Randall Cobb went out. So when you see a quarterback having that kind of faith in a receiver so quickly, that says a lot to me. And now they've had a full offseason, he's been able to work into the offense. And again, it's the Green Bay Packers offense. I don't mind taking a chance on one of these guys very late.
Say what you want. I'm going with fresh blood. I'm going with Devontae Adams. He looks like James Jones. He's a big body type of wide receiver. I think we saw what he did in college. I think that transfers over, especially because he has Aaron Rodgers as
quarterback.
Because
he's a whack guy. Or Mountain West.
I'm a former
Fresno State, that big green bee on the back of his helmet. Did you ever till and plow fields in Fresno with Devontae Adams on the
farm?
All right, here we go. Coaching decisions presented by Lenovo coming up next. Robert Griffin enters his third year in Washington, has a new toy to play with on the outside. But is that enough to make you draft him or any other Redskin? Our Fantasy Two-A-Day tours are next.
High drama at FedEx Field, the return of Robert Griffin III. Play action, Robert Wheels gets hit, gets sacked.
RG3 season is over.
Sometimes you have to evaluate when you're getting hit repeatedly.
Mike Shanahan has been fired.
Jay Gruden, the new head coach of the Washington Redskins.
This is about a commitment to being a consistently great franchise.
Welcome back. So, Adam, lots changed for the Redskins this offseason.
A little bit.
Fair to say, Jay Gruden taking over from Mike Shanahan. DeSean Jackson coming up from Philly. But we're going to kickstart our Redskins fantasy two-a-days with the quarterback in RG3, who just yesterday took to Twitter to address his critics, and I love it. They doubted in high school. They doubted a turnaround at Baylor. They doubted a Heisman was possible. Keep doubting. It's nothing new. So RG3 embracing the underdog mentality there. But as a fantasy owner, would you rely on RG3 as your number one quarterback?
Can we have some real talk here?
Please, because I had him last year, and he stunk.
What's my golden rule that we talked about earlier in the show?
Oh, yeah, you only draft.
I like the good quarterbacks.
You only draft good quarterbacks?
Reliable quarterbacks, because a lot of guys are hitting me up on Twitter. They're saying, hey, look, I took RG3 in my fantasy draft. Is he going to be very good this season? I tell all of them, look, you got to have a solid backup. You got to have somebody like Jay Cutler out there. You got to have somebody like Ben Roethlisberger, another guy we talked about in the show. And, you know, you look at him, you just can't trust him because you're watching these preseason games. He's taking too many hits. Has he really learned his lesson? That's the big thing for everybody. People are doubting him because we're watching the games. Mm-hmm. We're watching him make bad throws like that. We're watching him take hits. And we can't trust
slide.
Him to be there over the course of the season. I mean, he was amazing. Those first six games, his rookie season, were unbelievable. But since that time, he hasn't been as good. And that's the big thing. That's the big concern for us. And so until we see that, you really can't trust him, especially with so much depth at the position.
To see if he could stay healthy there. Would you take Cutler over RG3?
Absolutely.
Interesting. All right, let's move on to his running back. We know he has someone he can certainly trust in terms of handing it off to. That's Alfred Morris, but can we trust him as a reliable RB1?
Yeah, I like Freddie Morris. He's about the back end of the RB1 category. He's about a spot 10, 11, somewhere around there, but you can trust him. He's a guy you can go out and get in the third round of most of your fantasy drafts and expect him to get the ball heavily. You know, he runs the ball a ton. Over the last 2 years, there haven't been many running backs who have run the ball more, and plus he's ranked second in total rushing yards over that time. And the only problem for him, the big drawback for him, is that he doesn't catch the ball out of the backfield.
So
and he's
PGR
tried.
Especially.
He really wants to get better at that, and Jay Gruden has wanted him to get better, but wanting him and actually doing it are two different things. And there is a possibility that maybe at the end of the season he will get a little bit more adept at it. But until that time, he's still going to be a two-down back. And until he's a full-on three-down back, he's going to be on the back end of that RB1 conversation.
20 rush TDs, third most in the NFL. I still smile every time you call him Freddie.
Freddie
so
Morris.
Thank you for that.
You got to like
I'm easily amused there. Let's move on to Pierre Garçon, though. He was so underrated last year in terms of his production, and I want to pull up the board here to kind of show you the stats in terms of his value.
Look at that.
First in targets, receptions, eighth in receiving yards, and 14 there,
right there,
receptions at 20.
With elite, big plays.
25
he was a
plus
big play
yards.
Receiver. That's what we're talking about right there. And you would, if you asked most people, you know, who had the most receptions in 2013, a lot of them wouldn't come up with Pierre Garçon. So you're absolutely right. He is one of the most underrated receivers, especially last year. But the one holdup I have from this season that he thrived so much in Mike Shanahan's offense. He was so good at that. He seemed like a perfect fit for what him and Kyle Shanahan were running there in Washington. But now you look at Jay Gruden coming in, and he had a different kind of receiver. He had a big guy like A.J. Green to go with, and it's going to be a little bit different this season. I'm not sure that Pierre Garçon is going to lead the league in targets again. He's a very talented guy, but I'm not sure that this is the perfect offense for him to flourish, so I'm a little worried about it. I think that he could take a step back this season.
14 receptions there of 25 yards or more. Let me correct that.
Okay.
The graphic, we struggled with that stat there a bit. But does the addition of DeSean Jackson there now in town concern you at all? Or it's just more the new Jay Gruden offense?
Well, it's both. And DeSean Jackson will help him a little bit because defenses have to pay attention to him. They have to be looking at him when he's on the field because he has the ability, as they say, to take the top off of defense. But, you know, it's a tough situation. Pierre Garçon is still going higher, but I think DeSean Jackson might be the better value because he's going later in drafts.
Okay, so RG3 has a great receiving tandem, but let's not forget that young tight end, Jordan Reed, pretty good there as well. He's being taken in the eighth round. Now, who would you take ahead of him or behind him, if that
well,
makes sense?
He's in a group with guys like Dennis Pitta, and in about that range, you know, and when you get to the end of the draft, you're talking about guys like Zach Ertz, Kyle Rudolph, Those are two guys I might go with ahead of him, even though Jordan Reed is one of the most talented receivers out there. Or just, he's a talented guy. But again, I don't know that this offense is a perfect situation for him. If you look at Cincinnati, they didn't have great tight ends. Gresham was in the mix sometimes. Tyler Eifert. Mm-hmm. You know, you really couldn't rely on one guy. So it's kind of a catch-22 with him. You like his talent. You like his upside. You like the ability of what he can do on a field. Just not sure what this offense is going to mean to him. And again, when you get guys like Kyle Rudolph playing for a coach like North Turner, who has played so well or has done so well with the oh my gosh, I'm thrown off. Could they have found an older photo of me?
I know.
That's so many years ago.
You're like fine wine. You get better with age, Adam, in a very non-creepy way.
It made
you're
me lose my man. Point.
But that's okay. And you got rid of the facial hair. You're really clean shaven now. Okay, so some concern based on obviously the offensive weapons are there, but based on this offense, we have to see what happens with Jay Gruden and the new offense and how they're able to do it. But there we get a look value round by round.
Round eight, the run on tight end start.
Mm-hmm. Hey now. All right, good stuff. We need to update that picture for you.
Yeah, please.
Do you want me to take a selfie for you?
Would you mind? Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that in the break. Coming up, sick of boring drafts, tired of drawing names out of a hat to determine the draft order. We have some tips to help put the passion back in your draft. Stick around.
Andrews sets up, looks, throws in the middle. Touchdown, Reggie!
Sleeping! Touchdown! Kendrell Perkins!
Take your draft to the next level with the official fantasy draft board of the NFL. Your kit includes easy-to-use player label stickers and room for up to 16 teams in 20 rounds. Be sure to check it out at NFL.com/draft board.
Oh, you're such a good game show host.
If you order now, we'll throw in Molly Carum.
Oh, stop it. I'll autograph it for you, buddy. Okay?
There you go. See?
Oh, gosh. We have
and
so
if
much
you order
fun
right
here
now.
On Fantasy, NFL Fantasy Live. Shit. Welcome back, everybody. All right. So draft week can be one of the best experiences of your life.
It can.
Correct?
Be. Period.
All drafts are not created equal, though, my friends.
No. No, they're not.
Not at all.
Okay, so everybody has some unique rules that they bring to the table. So we need to address some of those. Akbar, starting with you, my friend.
Well, you know what? See, for my league, I like it to have it this way. And I'm going to say this. If you get the last guy, the loser of your league, right? Like Adam Rank has experienced so many years. You get that guy to buy a jersey of the MVP of that league.
So, like everybody else in America, I never
have
your jersey.
You're paying money for losing. That's it.
You
buy an authentic jersey on NFL.com. You see what I did there?
There you go.
NFL.shop.com.
At least get the plug right.
Well, you can get it in there.
You can get a customizable Akbar jersey.
Yeah, that's right. 94.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Sign me up.
Yeah.
Money, how about you?
I steal this, and I'm happy to steal it and give credit where credit is due. It is Cousin Sal of Jimmy Kimmel Live fame. It was his plan. It's the greatest way to deal with wins and losses in any fantasy league. You may have heard of it. If not, implement it immediately in your league. The winner of the season gets to select who gets booted out of their league the next year. But this is the key.
Oh, that's messed up.
It's the day of the draft. So you do all your prep.
Stop it. So you show up to the draft.
Yes.
To go?
Yes. And in the past, in their fancy celebrity leagues, big-time superstars
that
have been booted out of that
big
league.
Big-time TV superstars.
That's right.
That
have been booted out of the league.
Can we not say who it is?
I don't know. I guess we can say it's John Hamm. No.
Don't say that it's John Hamm.
I better not.
Yeah. All right.
Booted out of
all
that league.
All dressed up, no place to go.
Nowhere
Adam
to go.
Rank, what do you have?
You know what I hate? I hate when you show up for your league and everybody just sits there and they pull names out of a hat for the draft order. Boring! So what I wanted you guys to do here on Twitter is hit me up. Let me know how you guys select your draft order, and we got some great ones right here. We got a lot of cool tweets coming in. As a matter of fact, there's going to be a group showing up right here in just a second. There's this League of Champions. They came up with a cool thing. What they did here is they made their own NBA draft-style lottery with the ping pong balls.
That's sick.
And And they got the leaf blower, and they just do it. And I don't know if the Cleveland Cavaliers came up first overall on this one.
Awesome.
Like the NBA fixed it, but League of Champions, very well done.
Get
very creative.
That's fantastic.
That is one of the best. And
that's
I saw somebody
awesome.
Else. There's a lot of homemade remedies like this.
We should put that on NFLshop.com, right?
And, yeah, we should next year.
Did I get it right
next
that time?
Ping pong baller. There we go.
What about you, Molly?
That's awesome. I make the loser watch an episode of Honey Boo Boo.
I'll lose that league.
That is so random.
I'll lose that league.
And I tweeted a tweet out for people to give suggestions. And no, I don't do that. But I don't know why I thought that was so funny. The loser has to host a Super Bowl party.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
It's fun.
And pick up the tab. And
yeah, because I'm nice, not like you guys.
You're spending money.
Exactly, in the end, yeah, it all works out.
Loser pays.
It's good stuff.
You guys are far too kind. Yeah. Boot them out of the league.
Yeah.
Boot them square out the league.
No, but this is enjoyable. All right, thanks. That'll do for us here on NFL Fantasy Live. We are back tomorrow. Play nice, gentlemen. We'll have a full recap of tonight's Eagles-Steelers game. Adam Rank will dish on his like and dislikes for the week. Plus, our two-a-day tour continues in the NFC East with a closer look at the Cowboys and Giants. We'll see you tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, right here on NFL.com.